Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the one and only The Vulnerability Podcast. This is Dr. John Stange back at the helm after a couple weeks of the crud or the disease, whatever you want to call it. And boy, am I feeling better, and boy, am I glad to be back with my friends. So great to be here. And I want to introduce, of course, the one and only Matt Perry. How are you doing, Matt?
Hey, Dr. John, I am doing very well. Thank you, as always, for having us. Tonight I am tuning in from the great city of Boston, Massachusetts.
Well, what's going on up there? Tell us.
I've been just doing some getaways. It's been so great being up here in northern New England. It is so much more quiet than the New York City area. It's been so, so great to get some time away. I've actually spent some time at the beach in Maine over the last couple of weeks as well. So it's been, again, so great, so quaint, and a much-needed escape from the New York City area.
Well, we're certainly glad you're having a great time up there, and we want you to keep on doing it. And, of course, our dear friend that we just think is awesome, Tori, how are you doing tonight? How's everything in Arizona?
I'm good. Everything in Arizona is hot, hot, hot. Hot, hot, hot. We've been having heat waves. It's been 115, I think. 117 is the hottest that it's been so far this summer, and it's pretty roasty.
Well, from what I have seen from little bits and pieces on in news stories, the whole Southwest is drying up right now. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's definitely drying up. There's been a lot of fires, things that have closed down a lot of activities in northern Arizona also. Definitely very dry.
Well, we're certainly glad that you are with us. You don't sound that crisp. You sound cool, calm, and collected, and that's the way we like to hear you, Tori, okay?
Thanks, Dr. John.
You're welcome. And our buddy from the state of cheese, from Wisconsin, Keith is here with us. How are you doing tonight, Keith?
Hey, John, what's up? How are we all doing? I thought I was just listening to the podcast. I didn't realize I was on it, so I guess I'm here. I made it.
You better be careful. We will draft you like the U.S. Army in World War II, and we're going to have a great time tonight. Let's see. Last night, I had my first podcast in 2 weeks. I had a coughing fit, and the Surgeon General of ScaryCast, Dr. Trey Donaway, he called me up right after the show. He said, John, what is this? I mean, do you have tuberculosis junior or something? I said, well, I don't know. So he said, well, I'm going to check on you tomorrow. So it was real funny. He called me up about 1 o'clock today, and he talked to me for 20 minutes, and I thought it was very strange. And so finally, after 20 minutes, I coughed. He said, is that the first time you've coughed since we've talked? I said, yes, sir. He said, all right, you're okay. You're going to live. I said, oh, God, thank you so much. He said, because if you weren't, I was driving down to Myrtle Beach, and me and my wife were going to take you to the doctor. I said, but Trey, you are a doctor. He said, oh, yeah, that's right. So it was funny. But we made it through ScaryCast Alive, and now I've made it a full day without coughing spells, so I'm just glad to be back. And so, Matt, why don't you set the tone for our wonderful podcast tonight? First of all, since we have been gone for 2 weeks, we have crested and we have hit 1,000 people in Vulnerability is Cool, which is a gigantic accomplishment. And we got you to thank because you're the one that's led that charge. Tell us about it.
Awesome, awesome. I first want to preface the state how thankful we are all to hear that you're doing better. You know, we've been worried about you. Certainly I have, and it's so great to have you back here, Dr. Jump.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you for that introduction, and thank you for providing me the opportunity to set the tone for tonight. And I'm so greatly honored. We're getting close, I think, to actually 1,100 members now in our Facebook group. We have now thousands of other people in our clubhouse. We truly have so many people that are part of our Vulnerability School project. And as I've stated before, and we'll continue to state, one of the things I'm most proud of in this project is the heterogeneous nature of our community, the diversity in which we represent, the people we represent is really remarkable, from the type of nations, to the ages, to the experiences that we've endured. We have people from all walks of life, and that is a true blessing. It really offers people the opportunity to be seen, to be heard, and to feel that they can speak their truth, and that someone in this space will be able to really listen. You know, and one more thing I'll share too, is we had a clubhouse this past Thursday, and we were talking about, we brought up individuals from India, and sure enough, we were just manifesting more and more people coming from the great country of India. And before you know it, we had almost 100 people tune in from India, or who had Indian descent. That's pretty cool. And I got to learn so much about the Indian people and their culture and their customs. And it truly is understated how, again, how much of a blessing it is to have garnered the knowledge I have from so many people based on their experiences, where they come from, and the values that they share and that they embody every day. So that's what I'd like to lead in with tonight.
Well, I have used a little bit of Indian culture in the last week. Using sliced lemons right next to my bed, which I can tell you has really helped my all these problems that I've had. And it really does. Their culture is thousands upon thousands of years old. They know how to do things that we, you know, we've got a wonderful culture over here in the United States. We're cresting on 500 years. But they've got a great culture of history, a great culture of wealth. They've got a great culture of knowing how to manage health. And the more we listen to them, the more we're going to learn. And I think it's absolutely wonderful. I mean, there's so much to learn worldwide from these cultures. And the more that we learn from them, the better off we're going to be. We really are. So I want to say thank you to the New Delhi Times for this article from 10 years ago about why should you put sliced lemons right next to your bed. And I'll tell you what, that has really helped me. So thanks to the Indian culture for the great things that I have learned from them. And that's all I've got to say. What do you think, Matt? I mean, what else have you learned from the Indian culture? Because they've got so much to teach us. All we have to do is open our arms, open our eyes, and open our hearts, and we can learn so much from the Indian culture.
Absolutely. It's a lot about those, I know you've talked about manifesting on here before, talking about, you know, just as you outlined there too, about natural health principles that are, you know, pretty devoid of, you know, typical health recommendations here in the United States. And they have all those beliefs really integrated in their daily lives. So, you know, where that recommendation for having sliced lemons on the bedside would be a little bit far out there in our culture here in the United States, out there that's really personalized treatment in a lot of ways. And It's probably just as effective, if not more effective, than what would be a standard first-line recommendation here in the United States. So I think that they have a much more comprehensive view of what it means to be human, the complexities of the world, than we have a full grasp here in the United States. I think we really lack that understanding here in this nation.
That is true, but we are learning. We are getting better at this because I think there are a lot of us that are learning from these other cultures. And the more we learn, the better off we're going to be. And these gems of knowledge, they really make a difference in our lives. I know they make a difference in mine. So thanks to everybody. So what other groups, Matt, do you see that are joining us in Vulnerability is Cool? You said there were 100 folks from India. What other areas do you see people joining us?
So to your previous point, I think that we garner that knowledge through experience. So, whether it's nationwide, whether it's ourselves individuals, we embark on this knowledge through trial and error, through, experiences. And, for me, like on my health journey, it's been through my health journey that I've discovered other healing modalities of these different cultures. And then as you try these different healing modalities, you're like, oh, now you learn about the different cultures, and then you learn about the different people, and then you connect with the different people. So it only takes one thing or one need to open yourself up, and before you know it, you've got thousands of connections all around the world. So it's pretty cool.
True.
So Clubhouse does not provide me analytics of the countries where people come from. From the Facebook group, we're at like 75 different countries. So we have representation throughout this globe. We haven't hit every continent yet. We are still trying to recruit those penguins down in Antarctica. But until they come on, we are pretty much, again, every continent, 75 different countries. We have a lot. We have a lot throughout Asia. We have a lot throughout Europe. We have lots of Australians. And we have a ton of Canadians too. And I want to give a shout out to Josie and Sagar, as well as Violet, who once lived in Canada, but there are 3/6 of my moderator team on Clubhouse. So half of my moderators on Clubhouse are actually from or lived in Canada at one point. So something I'm really proud of, that even though that we're a U.S.-based group and organization, that half of our Clubhouse moderators have lived or lived in a different nation. And that truly is representative of what we do on Vulnerability School.
That is wonderful that we have such a great representation from all over the world. I've got a couple of friends from Canada that I just need to get on here next week. In fact, I might see my buddy Mark Manson will join us. He's very entertaining. He's become quite the survivalist on his Facebook page. He's always talking about learning how to survive and in case we have rough times. So he's kind of a neat guy. I'll see if I can get him on here next week. I think you would enjoy him. And I think, of course, Tori, and I think Keith would enjoy him as well. Now, Keith, what have you have been doing some exciting things in terms of spiritual development, because, Matt, I think we're all about meeting people and developing spiritually. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. I believe that we are a group that promotes vulnerability, promotes authenticity, and we are. We're about growing physically, emotionally, spiritually, on every aspect. And that sort of goes full circle about Indian culture, where, you know, I feel that U.S. culture looks at, you know, things very, very separate, very much more surface level. So, for example, if you look at U.S. medicine, they'll say, okay, well, you've got heart issues, you've got lung issues, and everything is so divided. You have to go, there's a doctor for every little aspect of who we are. But what Indian culture looks at, what Chinese culture looks at, they look at everything as intertwined. What's happening in your heart is happening in your feet. What's happening in your feet is happening in your head. And similarly, that's happening on all different levels, too. So your mind, your body, your spirit, everything is all interconnected. And I think that for me, is what these old other cultures really understand about the human experience. So in sum, yes, that's what we try to promote in Vulnerability School and what we try to promote on this podcast.
That's very, very true. Very, very true. Because, Keith, you have told me a little bit over the last week, over some of the spiritual adventures that you've had that really embody a variety of things and pulling them together. Do you mind sharing those with us?
I'm having a hard time hearing what you asked me, John. I'm driving right now, and I'm going like 80 miles an hour. So there's a little bit of road noise that's happening, so I couldn't hear exactly what you said. You said something about spiritual adventures and then blah, blah,
right.
blah.
Right, and just some of the things you have done recently as you are embodying a number of the spiritual adventures and pulling things together in your world that are really kind of neat. I hope you were able to hear that.
A little bit. I don't really understand what the question is. But, I'm kind of gathering you want me to talk about my adventures in spirituality, like what I've really been working on. So I'll talk a little bit to that topic. Over the last few weeks here, I've been delving into understanding how, you know, your gut health and, you know, detoxing the body and detoxing the mind is going to affect, you know, every aspect of your life. And over the last, you know, many months, I've been dealing with a lot of struggles, as I'm sure everyone has. But you know, my struggles are specific to me. I'm trying to work through mine in the most intelligent and most efficient way. And today, I drove about four and a half hours, maybe 5 hours one way today. I'm actually driving home right now. I have another 3-hour drive. And during the drive up here, I was thinking about my quest that I went on the other day. I went on a long walk, and before I started the walk, I was struggling with I had some trouble letting go of something, so I was struggling with attachment. And today in the car on the way up here, a deep feeling of detachment and a feeling of love was washing over me, and I was able to, you know, consciously give love to people that have hurt me in my life. And I was able to consciously detach from results of relationships, because, you know, the thing is when you go into, you know, some kind of conversation or anything with anybody, you know, it's hard to, you know, set aside the ego or set aside the higher purpose of life without thinking, like, well, what do I want out of this particular relationship, whether it's a connection, whether it's sex, whether it's money, whether it's information. You know, you go into these, you know, these interactions with an expectation of receiving something in return. And, I mean, ultimately, you really receive something. It's just I've been noticing more often than more often lately, it's been lessons in detachment and lessons in love that I've been having faith. And actually, literally 30 minutes before I hopped on the podcast here, I realized that my main purpose in this life is to work on love, work on my attachment towards situations, towards people, because I, you know, I have abandonment to my childhood and to, you know, some adventures in early adult life and other adventures that just keep re-triggering those old wounds. So I've had to delve deep into these situations over and over and over again, and I would keep attracting the same people in my life over and over and over again to teach me the same lessons, so I can be sure that I learn what I need to learn from them. And it today has been I had to drive all the way out here to go to a bank because my credit card got messed up, which, you know, it sucks, honestly. It sucks having to drive this far out. But, you know, learning to become an alchemist is when you learn how to transfer your base emotions into gold, ultimately. That's what alchemy is. It's taking a shitty situation and turning it into something that you can learn and take out of it. Because you always want to be learning. When you stop learning, that's when you start dying. Life has so many different there's so many different lessons, and there's so many different things to delve into in life. You know, the second you close your mind to a circumstance or a situation, that's the second that you stop learning from that kind of situation. So, where I sit right now, I'm very happy that I had some of the, you know, quote unquote shitty situations, because they have really helped me to plunge much deeper into my spiritual path. And I think the most important thing to learn is to, you know, master your emotions. You know, what do you want out of your life? What kind of feelings do you want feeling, and consciously embody those feelings? You know, I want to be loved. I want to be able to be completely immersed in love, and I want to be completely immersed in detachment. So I consciously focus on feelings, and it's literally like a feeling of bliss that just washes over my body. And then when you have that kind of that mystical sense, I mean, the shitty situations in life aren't really going to bother you much, you know? Like getting charged an extra $200 for something that you didn't use, it isn't going to bother you that much. You're just going to be able to let it go. And that depends on your situation, though, too. But, you know, from where I stood, you know, I got charged extra money for something that kind of sucked, and I was just like, you know what? Whatever. It is what it is. So I was able to let it go. And, that's basically where and what I've been focusing on over the last few years. And thank you for giving me this time to share all that. It was a bit of a fearful.
Well, certainly. Thank you for sharing this. Now, Tori, what has been going on in your life? We know that still waters truly run deep. You have great things happening in your life. So what's going on with you?
What?
I was asking Tori, what's going on with her? I hope she's still on. Looks like she is. Tori,
yeah,
are you
Tori
with us?
Must have disappeared for a minute. I'm sure she'll be back.
Absolutely.
Tori indicated to me privately that she had something that was maybe going to be occurring during this, so she might have stepped away briefly. So we can get back to her.
We certainly will. We're always glad to get her input in everything.
Actually, Matt, I'd like to hop in real fast here, if you don't mind, Dr. John. What does spirituality mean to you, and how have you integrated that on your path?
So that's interesting. How has spirituality integrated itself into my path? Well, it's been amazing. I guess it's because I've been sick. And I've had Keith, people like Keith, and Dr. Trey Donaway have been calling me every day, and Matt has been sending me messages to find out how I'm doing. And what I have found is that I have great friends that really do care whether or not I live or die. And I guess before vulnerability is cool, I might not have had those friends. So it seems as though I have become very, very wealthy in the friendships that I have. And so I have learned some things. And I'm thrilled that I have new friends that really care about me. And it's wonderful. And in fact, I had a friend, he's been a friend for 13 years, his name is Jared. He and I have been thick as thieves for a long, long time. And he said, you know, John, I'm getting ready to get a divorce. And I've got the whole upstairs of my house free. And I knew that was my time to say, I'm sure you need someone to rent it. He said, absolutely. He said, but you know what the great thing about you renting my house is? Or at least the top part. I said, what's that? He said, I know that when I come home, the kitchen will be clean. It was really funny. And it made me feel good. So, you know, kind of rekindled a relationship there. And we're going to be moving from one town to another. And it's going to be a lot of fun hanging out with an old buddy and doing some great things with him. So in terms of spirituality, just seeing how your friendships grow, that's become an amazing thing for me in the last 2 weeks. As I guess I was sick, but I'm just getting better and finding out how much better my friendships are. So I hope that answers your question, Matt. But it's been a lot of fun. It kind of made me feel good, because I think sometimes we get a feeling of detachment from people. Don't you agree? If we're not really integrating with it, we kind of get a feeling of detachment. It's like, do they really care about us? And I'm beginning to see that, you know, my friends do. So I got to say, big shout out to Keith to calling me every day and saying, are you all right? And I'll never forget one day I said, no, I'm not. Thanks for asking. It was great. So just finding out that you really do have friends that care about you, and it's been an interesting thing. It's been an interesting ride. I don't know what to say. Now, Matt, what about you? What has given you the feeling that you're growing in terms of your spirituality and your connections with people?
Oh, that's such a great question. Just Keith, I think we hear your background noise. So if you wouldn't mind just muting your phone possibly while you're not talking, I'd be really appreciated. Thanks, Keith.
Oh, you're hearing a lot of background noise?
Yes, please. So if you can just mute that when you're not talking,
I'd
really appreciate
it. I'll kill it.
Thank you.
There we go.
So for me, look. So as a PTSD survivor, one thing that they talk about is when you go through traumatic experiences, there's an energetic discharge that that occurs innately within human beings that people have a hard time discharging, whereas animals are much more likely to discharge it and discharge it automatically. So let me give you an example. Let's say that a zebra is in the wild and a lion comes and attacks it. And then somehow the zebra gets away. The zebra will get up and will literally discharge their energy, and they will release the traumatic energy associated with that attack. Human beings do not innately have that ability. They have to go through lots and lots of healing, lots of processes to actually heal from that trauma. So for me, spirituality, energetics, all of it's all connected. I don't really use the term necessarily spirit and all that stuff. For me, it's all energy. We're all energy, essentially. I think we're basically talking about the same thing. I just don't use those same terms. And for me, it's getting my energy into a place of greater healing to process the things that I've gone through. And that's been really amazing. And as I've gone through those modalities and gone through so many different things that I've gone through, I've seen that the energy inside myself has slowly improved. And throughout that process, you know, the relationships, the people in my life have improved, not only in terms of the numbers of people, but the quality of people I've attracted, the quality of relationships I've attracted. So from my perspective, it's through that energetic work, through that spiritual work, that I've connected more people, better relationships, better quality experiences, and for that, I'm truly, truly grateful. And with that said, I do think that Tori's back on the phone too, just so you know, Dr. John. So I'd love to hear if you have any comments to what I said, and then I'd love to have that turned over to Tori. Dr. John, are you there? Tori, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Sorry, I kind of faded off into the sunset, but I'm back. So, Tori, did you hear a little bit about what Matt was talking about?
Yeah, I heard a little bit about what he's talking about. I'm not sure how to answer it. If you can ask me a question, I would be happy to add my two cents.
We'd love to have your two cents. I guess what Matt was saying was how he's been able to take situations and grow from them. I think that's kind of the bottom line. So have you had any experiences recently that have helped you grow as a person? Because I think that's really what we're about, is growing as people and becoming better people. Matt, do you think I'm correct there on that?
Yeah, not only are we a vulnerable space with vulnerability is cool, but we're all about self-empowerment, self-growth, and we want to see everybody live their best life.
Absolutely. So, Tori, have you had any experiences recently that you think have improved you as a person? You're a pretty cool person anyway. So you're pretty much on a higher plane already, but do you have anything that has helped you recently?
Yeah, I would say so. I think I've had a number of experiences recently that I feel have helped me grow. I think that growing is a part of living, and as long as I'm living, I intend to be growing. So I feel like it's not work that will be done, but rather just continued throughout my life. Recently, some of my best growth experiences have come from taking a look at things inside myself that I didn't necessarily want to see. I didn't necessarily want to admit that I have, like, repressed anger and, you know, some of the not-so-fun feelings kind of trapped up inside of me, because one of the ways that I coped with trauma when I was younger was to just stuff it all down and paint a smile on my face and go on about things like everything was, you know, puppy dogs and rainbows. And of course it wasn't. And so I had just stowed this stuff like in a backpack that I had to just carry around until I was ready to really start digging into that and unpacking all of those things and figuring out, what does this mean to me? And does it even still mean anything to me? And can I just let go of that? And can I just forgive this person and that person? And, you know, really just working through all of those things. And I think that it has helped me in a lot of ways to, find a lot of growth. And I don't know, I'm trying to see everything from everyone else's perspective rather than just my own. And that's helping me find my way to forgiving people that I felt had hurt me in the past. And that's a tremendously powerful way to grow, is through forgiving something. And you can't just be paying it lip service. You have to, like, truly be forgiving. And that can be sort of a hard concept to swallow, but it really is truly helpful. Truly, truly helpful, and can be a tremendously growing experience. And the other thing that I've been doing is allowing people to help me more, like actually admitting that, you know, maybe I'm having a really crummy day and I just don't feel good, and my roommate goes and gets me a smoothie, you know, and I would have never even mentioned that I wasn't feeling good before, you know. And so I feel like sometimes God or the universe wants to send you gifts and help, but if you don't open your mouth and speak what you need, then it has nowhere to go. You know, there's no vehicle that will deliver it to you if you don't actually open your mouth. So I'm learning to ask for help and admit when everything's not okay, be vulnerable with that, and and trying to see the light side of all of the dark, ugly things inside. So there's my two cents.
That's interesting, seeing the light side of the dark and ugly, and just realize that there is a bright side to everything. That, don't you agree, Tori?
Absolutely. Everything has its polar opposite. The dark stuff has a light side, and the light side has a dark side too. It wouldn't be able to fully appreciate either one without the other.
That's a very interesting and contemplative thought. I think that's really important. Keith or Matt, do either one of you have any comments on that? I mean, that's a really powerful suggestion. That, you know, there's the good with the bad and the bad with the good. And how we take it and how we learn from it, that can change us. It really can.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'll give a good example. So yes, I think that forgiveness is... it's something that we should all try to strive for, because it really frees ourselves. But in that process, forgiveness is speaking your truth. And for me, I've been going through a process of speaking my truth, of expressing forms of abuse that I've been subjected to throughout many years, some of which include within my own family, such as, you know, anger or neglect or whatever else. And it's not easy to do that. And years and years ago, there was a period of time where I was so quiet. I barely talked to people many, many years ago. I was really struggling after my mom got really ill, and that was a form of self-protection. That was a form of truth. So, you know, many years ago, I would not say boo to anybody. And now here I am years later speaking up about abuse, speaking up about things that aren't right, doing Facebook Lives where 99.9% of people would never do that, running a group of thousands of people across this globe. So it kind of plays into that whole notion of polarity where, you know, sometimes it takes being the quietest person in the room to be able to be that light in the room, to be able to be standing up and standing strong and to speak your voice and speak your truth. You know, it seems like it takes one side of the coin to be able to fully embrace the other side.
Well, I think it does. And, you know, when I look over a number of situations with my parents, and I think, golly, how horrible was that? And but, you know, it's funny. My mother said something to me in her later years, I guess the last year of her life, and she said, you know, I don't care how anything came off from me. I never intended for anything bad to happen. And I think once I got to see reality from her standpoint, it made a lot of things better. She said, I didn't intend for anything bad to go wrong. I mean, you know, it's like, well, you know, I'm a person and sometimes I have problems too. And I never thought about it that way. And I thought that was kind of a genius thing for her to say. I think it kind of solved any problems that she and I ever had. Because we all have problems with parents. Sometimes they really don't intend for anything bad to go on. But listen, they're under pressure too. You know, they have to provide a living and they have to provide a lot of things. And so I think when you learn from them, then, you know, maybe that can, in certain instances, make things better for you. I know it made things better for me. And I always felt better after that, after she told me that. And that was like right before she passed away, a couple months. And it was very interesting. So I learned a lot about how she felt. She was always trying to do the right thing. But, you know, sometimes we have situations that we don't exactly know how to handle, whether we're a parent or a kid or whatever. And when I say a kid, I mean you can be, you know, you can be 35 years old like I was and you're a kid, or you're you know, you're 65 years old and you're a mom or a dad. I mean, you have to learn, and if you keep learning and keep trying to make things better, well, they do get better. So I think that's just my two cents. I hope that makes some sense, Matt. I'm not sure. I mean, I know a lot of the things that you have gone through, but I think the more that we know about our family relationships, truly the better off we are. And do you agree with that? Are you there, Matt? It looks like Matt may have vanished. Keith, are you there?
Yeah, what's up?
Okay, great, yeah. I had asked Matt, and I guess Matt had vanished on me. One of the technological things, I said sometimes the more you know about your parents, the better off you are. And sometimes they're not always willing to share what they should, but the more they do, the more you understand, the better off things are. So that was just my comment on that. I learned a lot from my mom in her very, very later years of life when she was getting ready to pass on. And she said, you know, I never meant any harm by anything that I ever did. I always tried to do the right thing. But then again, I had a life too, and I had to keep the house going and I had to do all this stuff. So, and I thought it was just very interesting that, you know, her comment with that. So I think the more we know about our parents, sometimes the better off we are. Don't you agree?
course.
And Tori, please join in.
That's very good. Yeah, something I learned about, you know, myself as well is, you know, a lot of the issues that I struggle with actually come from unresolved wounds that either my mother or father or both of them have had. And that's something that you can go into your life as well and look and see, and you'll realize that, you know, we have ancestral wounding in our being. Like, a lot of things I struggle with aren't just, like, in this particular life. These are things that, you know, my parents have gone through, my grandparents have gone through, possibly even great-great-great-great-great-grandparents. Who knows how far back it really goes. But, you know, our wounds come from generations beyond just our being. And as we begin to understand more about our parents, that it adds more clarity to ourselves. Yeah. So yeah, I absolutely 100% agree with what you said.
Well, thanks a lot, Tori. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I absolutely agree. With Keith as well, and you, because, yeah, I mean, it definitely helps to have an understanding of your parents, because oftentimes a lot of the childhood trauma that we have stems from something to do with our parents, whether that's, you know, traumatic events that happened, maybe they weren't abusive, maybe there was just misunderstandings and no communication, or maybe someone didn't feel loved or they were neglected. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that we can have these sort of issues with our parents. But if once we understand what their life was like, how difficult it was for them, it becomes a lot easier to forgive and to understand kind of what they were dealing with in the first place. For instance, my mother, I didn't know my whole life until I was much older, that my mom had a mental illness. When she was bipolar, and she had schizophrenic tendencies, and I didn't know anything about it. I just knew that sometimes she was warm, and sometimes she was cold, and sometimes she was very, very sad, and sometimes she was on top of the world and the life of the party, and I didn't know how to predict what was going to happen with her from any moment to the next. And there was nothing that I could do to influence it one way or the other. It was just something to do with her. And when I got older, of course, I found out that she had mental illness. But prior to finding that out, I was very confused about my relationship with my mom. And it caused a lot of pain. But once I understood that everything didn't just work the same way for her as it does for everybody else, then I had a different respect for her, and a lot, I think, deeper compassion for what she was going through, because I could imagine that her life was much harder than it would have been for the average person with the same circumstances. So I was able to, you know, give her a lot more benefit of the doubt once I really knew more about her, and it made a huge difference in us being able to have a really good relationship as an adult with her. So that was really good. I definitely agree with you guys.
Yeah, well, that's very interesting. And, you know, and I learned a lot about my mom after my dad passed away. I guess I grew up in a time when parents didn't share a lot with their kids. And so I learned in a very difficult way a lot of things, and nothing bad, but just the fact that there were a lot of things that I was never told, and it wasn't the way that it just didn't happen that way. They didn't tell things about themselves. They didn't tell things about their business dealings. They didn't tell things about what all they did. And I wish they had. Of course, I came up in a time where during the season of love and Woodstock and everything, where we weren't very kind to our parents, and that was the way it was. So, you know, we've all had, I would say that we've all had problems with our parents, just because of growing up and because of, you know, really situational things that we don't have a lot that we can control. So the more we learn, I think the better off we are, and the better the relationships can be, even as our parents get older and older, and even if they're gone. I mean, I think we can still learn a lot about them and learn how to connect with them, even if they've gone away. So I think there's a lot for everybody to learn, and I think it's a wonderful thing. So I guess as we want to close up this Vulnerability is Cool podcast, does anybody have any thoughts? Excuse me. Do you have any thoughts you'd like to share as we close this down?
Well, I would thank everyone for being vulnerable and showing up and talking about things that are not always easy to talk about. I appreciate all of you guys so much.
Well, we appreciate you, Tori. It's wonderful that we can get together and talk about things like this. I hope Matt's okay. Maybe he dropped off and he got into a bad area. But I think we've had another blockbuster podcast. It's been a lot of fun. We've learned more about each other. And I think we can move forward in a very good way. So, again, congrats to Matt for leading this ship to over 1,000 subscribers. That's a genius maneuver. It really is. I remember when my first podcast got to over a thousand listeners, which was Cape Fear Comic Con in Wilmington, and I had the biggest high. And I knew it was going to be successful, and it was. It was just an incredible thing. So, as we grow, and as we mature, and get bigger and badder and better, I think we've got a lot to look forward to. So, again, Tori, thank you. Keith, thank you very much for being with us. Matt, sorry you faded out into the sunset, but we look forward to having you back next time. So this is Dr. John saying thanks a lot for being with us on the Vulnerability is Cool podcast. We'll be back 11 p.m. Eastern time next week. Tori, you be with us?
Absolutely.
Great. And Keith, we hope you'll be with us. You may be in a bad spot too as you're hauling to get back home and everything, so be careful. And Matt, you know, safe travels. And we'll talk to everybody next week on the one, the only Vulnerability is Cool podcast. Thanks a lot, everybody.
Thank you.